Trend number two, inside the mobile application revolution. The mobile digital technology wave began in the late 80s, and it has been advancing at an accelerating pace ever since. Today, the basic mobile phone has saturated not just the industrialized world, but the developing world as well. The recent convergence of computing power, miniaturization, touchscreen technologies, and high bandwidth have finally reached the critical mass required to enable the emergence of powerful, low-cost platforms such as the iPhone and iPad that can go anywhere. Significantly, the dramatic growth in demand for mobile computing has been driven by more than simply the need for better phones. Today's demand for devices, applications, and bandwidth would not have been possible without the development of sophisticated multimedia infotainment resources like YouTube, iTunes, and Hulu. These services and platforms have become so appealing only because of the enormous range of applications that turn an iPhone or other smartphone into a versatile tool, enabling information and transaction handling in nearly every business imaginable, from restaurants to supermarkets to sporting events. This proliferation of technology has been encouraged by a combination of venture capital and low barriers to entry that make it possible for almost anyone wishing to develop these creative applications to enter the market. Already, smartphones and tablet computers are changing the way people live. Just consider all the applications that exploit the GPS capabilities of these platforms. For example, an app for the iPhone called Around Me allows you to find the nearest gas station, bank, bar, hospital, hotel, movie theater, restaurant, supermarket, or taxi. You can see the destination on a map, and the phone will give you exact directions to it. Consider also how mobile applications that make payments, scan merchandise, and transfer information are bringing us ever closer to exploiting the full potential of technologies like RFID tags, or how personal mobile devices are making it possible to integrate social networking into the physical world. Businessweek recently highlighted some of the potential for this new economy based on mobile applications that is creating fortunes and changing the way we do business. The range of possibilities is truly staggering. And this has all happened very quickly. The entire sector is still less than 3 years old. Apple launched its App Store less than 2 years ago, but customers have already downloaded more than 4 billion apps from it. Not surprisingly, the App Store has spawned more than a dozen competing services. All this commercial activity is reminiscent of the dot-com craze of the late 1990s, as new and apparently successful companies arise in a matter of months. But unlike the majority of the dot-com companies, many of the app players are actually turning a profit in record time. Zynga, which produces game applications, was profitable within its first 2 years, logging $100 million in sales. Google, the ultimate success story of the traditional web, took 3 years to turn a profit and was at that time a smaller company than Zynga is today. One of the most interesting things about these applications is that many are free, and many more cost just $1, and yet economies of scale make them profitable. Many of the popular applications work not just on an iPhone, but on other mobile platforms as well, such as the BlackBerry. But the truth is that Apple is far ahead of the competition, and even giants like Microsoft and Nokia are having a hard time approaching competitive parity with Apple. To see why, just compare Apple's 100,000 applications to the less than 15,000 offered by Google, Microsoft, and Research in Motion. All in all, the market for mobile applications appears to be about $1 billion today and is expected to grow to $4 billion within a year or two. The astonishing thing about this number is that it represents a business that simply didn't exist a couple of years ago. That gives us a hint about the speed and revolutionary changes that will be involved in this new technology boom. One of the unprecedented powers of this wave comes from the fact that, by definition, everyone is connected by mobile technology. This radically reduces the lag time in disseminating a given innovation. A product that might have taken years, even decades, to build market share in the 1950s or 60s can now take shape at warp speed. Zynga, the game maker mentioned earlier, introduced a new game that allows players to grow digital crops and sell virtual produce for play money through iPhones. The game garnered 60 million players in a scant 4 months, making it one of the most popular games on Earth, and making the fantasy farms outnumber real farms by 20 to 1. The game called Farmville is played through Facebook, which demonstrates one of the success factors often seen in mobile applications, letting people connect with their own social network, which gives them a reason to connect in the first place. Another key to the success of mobile devices and their applications is low cost. Once you bought the iPhone and paid for its online connection, nothing else is very expensive. The payments are so small as to be negligible, which keeps people making new purchases and boosts revenues through the tremendous scale that mobile apps represent. Another key to success in this arena is the ability to test something, get instant feedback from customers, and make changes on the fly. In the design of games, for example, it used to be true that the creative workers might have to wait 2 years to find out if people liked their offering. That lag time has now been reduced to days, even hours in some cases. That makes it easy to take risks. For example, in the game Farmville, Zynga introduced sweet potato seeds for $5 a package and made $400,000 in 3 days. The innovation costs nothing to introduce except for a small development expenditure. With 300 million Facebook members and 50 million owners of iPhones and the iPod Touch, there is a great deal at stake. That is why Yahoo recently jumped into that hot market to try to glean information from its app users that could enable them to more precisely target ads and therefore compete more effectively with its biggest rival, Google. And according to a report from the Associated Press, that is also why the legendary venture capital firm of Kleiner Perkins Caulfield and Byers has put $200 million into a fund specifically aimed at new companies that want to make apps for Apple's mobile devices. Research in Motion received $150 million from Thomson Reuters and RBC Venture Partners to create applications for the BlackBerry, as well as phones from other manufacturers. Similarly, Verizon is investing $1.3 billion in mobile applications. In addition, many other venture capital firms are jumping into the mobile apps arena, including Union Square Ventures, O'Reilly AlphaTech Ventures, and XG Ventures, which was founded by a group of ex-Google executives, hence the name XG. With this gold rush atmosphere underway, not to mention a huge share of hype from Apple, it is no wonder that the iPad sold 300,000 units, according to USA Today, in its first day on sale. During that same day, these new iPad users downloaded 1 million apps and more than 250,000 e-books. The scramble is now on to produce more and more applications for the new device. What do we see happening as this hot new trend unfolds? Consider the following 6 forecasts. First, over the next 20 years, our lives and businesses will be transformed dramatically by mobile applications foreshadowed by today's primitive capabilities. The mobile technology revolution is in its infancy, with tremendous room to develop. It's analogous to the Internet in 1994, when there was no such thing as Google, and few people had even heard of Amazon.com. Just as few people could imagine at that time how iTunes could replace bricks-and-mortar record stores. Only a tiny set of today's visionaries can imagine how mobile applications will transform our lives and businesses. An inkling of what's ahead can be seen in some of the apps that are already available. Consider ShopSavvy, an application for Android-based phones. A similar app for the iPhone is called Red Laser. These apps turn the smartphones into barcode scanners, which allows users to identify a product and then compare prices from internet sources to find the best deal. When customers have access like this to perfect, real-time information about pricing, retailers will need new marketing strategies. New companies that help work out those marketing strategies will appear, and those that can figure out how to navigate this new commercial landscape successfully will reap the benefits. Second, many of the near-term successes will lie at the intersection of the applications, social networking, associated web services, and business models that leverage these technologies. This formula will certainly change over time, but at the moment, the most successful apps are likely to follow that pattern. Ideally, the application's features and ease of use will combine with an attractive web service to make a compelling value proposition. One example is an iPhone app that allows the user to easily find a restaurant in a strange neighborhood. Integrating an element of social networking will then give the customer an incentive to contribute information as well as use the application. In this example, participation might involve adding a review of a new restaurant that is not yet in the database. And lastly, a complementary business model will be designed to minimize resistance to purchasing the app in the first place. Profit in this industry depends on scale and might involve embedded advertising instead of or in addition to low-cost app purchases. The trends editors foresee this basic formula prevailing over the next few years. Third, in the next 2 years, we'll see the beginnings of a wave of mobile application company IPOs. The companies that rule the world of apps today, including Zynga, Playfish in London, and Playbomb in Mountain View, California, are all privately owned, and they're making a lot of money. They are not in need of cash. Zynga, for example, received $39 million in venture capital in 2008 that it has not had to spend yet. However, a publicly traded stock would give those companies the ability to make bigger deals and attract the best talent with stock options. When those companies go public, as they most likely will, early investors are likely to be handsomely rewarded. Fourth, look for content to drive technology, and not the other way around. Warner Brothers, Electronic Arts, 2K Games, National Geographic, and Walt Disney Company, just to name a few, are all developing content and applications for the iPad and other devices. The reason for all this activity is clear. No matter how well designed or advanced a given device is, it's only as good as the content and services a user can get from it. Therefore, look for new startups that provide not only apps but entertainment content, along with more serious forms of information that can be used in business, medicine, education, and other areas. Fifth, while Apple is dominant now, it may not be forever. Despite the headline-grabbing move by Kleiner Perkins, most venture capital going into mobile technology apps is aimed at embracing all of the big six mobile operating systems, including Android, iPhone, Palm, RIM, Symbian, and Windows. Only 33% of the companies are developing apps that work on a single system. So, while it is possible that the Apple products will continue to dominate, the wary investor will keep an eye on giants such as Nokia, which could blindside Steve Jobs' company with a unique innovation. So, when investing in mobile app developers, it's wise to choose ones that are not tied to specific operating systems. And sixth, business models will continue to evolve rapidly to take advantage of the evolution of mobile app technology. In fact, the business model on which iPad apps will be based appears to be different from the one being used for iPhone apps. While most applications for the iPhone are either free or around $1, most of those offered for the iPad are more expensive, and based on the idea that the sales themselves will generate most of the revenue rather than advertising or purchases made inside an app. If this model works for Apple, others will certainly flock to it, changing the nature of apps and the way customers interact with them. This suggests that a new kind of marketplace may emerge in the next 3 to 5 years. We will be watching the sales of iPad apps closely for further developments.